We're going back now then to Ephesians and chapter 3. And I want to focus in on verse 12 of Ephesians 3. Paul, this man in prison in Ephesus, in Rome, writing to the church in Ephesus, and he has been given, as he says in verse 8, the grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and the great blessings that we have in Jesus. And verse 12, those blessings consist of this: that in him and through faith in him we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We may approach God with freedom and confidence in Jesus and through faith in him. Do you ever listen to yourself when you're praying? Do you ever ask yourself, why do I pray the way I do? Do you ever try to detect what your feelings about approaching God are as you pray? Like, do you detect fear or confidence? Do you detect uncertainty? Do you detect a sense of the rightness of being there? Are you ashamed? Or are you jubilant? Are you apologetic? Or are you intimate with God? Are you expectant? Or are you just perfunctory? Listen to yourself when you're praying. Because the attitude that we adopt in prayer tells us a great deal about how we feel about the gospel of Jesus. And it tells us a great deal about our working understanding of that gospel. The gospel is meant to bring us, as Paul says in verse 12 here, with freedom and confidence into God's presence. We can approach God in Jesus. And if we've got that, if we understand that, and if we really, really have that in the DNA of our spiritual lives, then when we approach God, we will have freedom. We will have confidence. The English Standard Version of this verse puts it just slightly differently. It says, in Christ, it says, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Boldness and access with confidence. Great words. Does that describe your prayer? Does it describe your praise? Does it describe your life? We're going to break down this verse into little chunks and think about it today. Think about the privilege that we can have through Jesus to approach God. Now let's start with those words in verse 12. Approach God. By approach God, we mean a deliberate effort to make contact with him, to have fellowship with him, to be close to him. And it's not an easy business. Although we're reading Ephesians, we can thumb back through the Bible and find out that throughout the history of God's people, Israel, the business of trying to approach God was difficult, was precarious, was dangerous. I was out on my bike yesterday and I was just cycling along and thinking, I don't know why I started thinking, maybe I'd like to do a sermon series on stupid things people think. And the thing that was really in my mind was this: people think of God as though he is human sized. And it's the dumbest thing conceivable to do that, and yet we're all guilty of it to some extent. You know, we go out into the world, and if we believe that God created the world, and if we believe he created the galaxy and the universe, he's not human sized. he really, really, really can't be. And to think of approaching God then, it's not just a matter of sauntering up to a man-sized God. It's coming to the creator of this universe. And Nadab and Abihu, whom we read about in Leviticus chapter 10, didn't really seem to get it. They made that stupid mistake of thinking that God was just like themselves, and they could say, well, you know, we've got all this tremendously complicated business that we've been given about how to approach God with the priests and with the sacrifices and using the different paraphernalia of the tabernacle and later of the temple. And we don't need this stuff. We'll just do it our way. And that's what they did. They just filled their censer and they march up to the most holy place and drop dead. Fire came out of the presence of the Lord and consumed them, it says. And then Moses says, well, are you surprised? Remember, I did say to you, this is what the Lord said. Among those who approach me, I will show myself holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. God is saying, you can't get all matey with me. I'm holy. And if you're going to approach me, you've got to get it right. It's dangerous to approach God because he's holy. He's so much greater than we are. And if we try to approach God our own way, sooner or later we'll follow the fate of Nadab and Abihu. But what this verse is telling us, is summing up what the Bible really tells us, is that in Christ, we may approach God. In Christ, we can approach God. Chapter 2, verse 18, here says, for through Christ, we both, that's Jew and Gentile, have access to the Father by one Spirit. We can approach God through Christ. Something has happened, says Paul, in the world with the coming of Jesus. Jesus has made it possible for us to approach God without all the Old Testament stuff, without the need for a temple, without the need for human priests and animal sacrifices and a very, very long list of regulations about how to do it. It's a stressful thing, as the Old Testament keeps telling us, to approach God, but Jesus is the one who has taken the stress and who's made it possible. What Jesus did in his life is the greatest accomplishment that any person has ever made or done. Because Jesus, knowing what is demanded of a person who would approach God, that they personally be holy, set out to fulfill those demands on his own. And through his childhood, and through his adolescence, and through his adulthood, in the most demanding of situations, being tested and tempted from all directions, Jesus achieved full marks in presenting to God a perfect life without sin. He meticulously went through life taking care of his thoughts and his actions and the things he said, so that when he came to that point where he was going to approach God and make an offering to God, he was ready. And extraordinarily, the offering that Jesus made to God was himself on the cross. He was the perfect priest, and he was the perfect sacrifice. And he made that offering for us. He carried our sins to that cross. And so that the quality assurance testing of God, the scrutiny that Jesus' life was under in every detail, passed Jesus. God would say of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with him." And whatever Jesus did was acceptable to God. Jesus was able to go into the presence of God on his own account. He fulfilled the conditions. He did as Moses said. He was holy as he approached God. He honored God. So Jesus can approach God, and Jesus has approached God, and Jesus now, as a sign of having approached God successfully, has been raised from the dead, and has ascended and sits at the right hand of God. In Jesus, says this verse, we can approach God too. And we do it, as verse 12 says, through faith. We do it through faith. And what does that mean? Well, I don't know how many of you have been in the Navy base in Kyle. It's not somewhere you can just walk into. There's all kinds of security there. You just can't just dander into the Navy base and have a look around. It's top secret. I've been there, though. I've been in the Navy base, and I've had a look around. How did I manage that? I've got no security clearance. I've got no authorization to be there. Did I climb over the fence? No, I didn't do that. How did I get in? Well, because a few years ago, myself and a couple of colleagues were invited in by one of the top people in the base, who invited and met us at the gate, and because of their authorization, because of their clearance, and because we were with them, we were able to go into the base, and we went round and had a good look round the whole place. We even had a trip in the helicopter. Superb. It wasn't because any of us had the credentials or the clearance. It was because we were with someone who had. We couldn't trust ourselves. We had no right to be there on our own account. But we could trust him, the man with the clearance. And it's the same with entering God's presence through Jesus. We can't trust ourselves. We don't have the credentials. We haven't fulfilled the conditions to come into God's presence. But Jesus invites us. In his company, we can come into the presence of God. We can stay in the presence of God. So we trust him to take us there and to keep us there. If Jesus didn't have clearance, if Jesus had somehow failed in his mission to go into God's presence on our behalf, we would never get there. But he does have clearance. He does have authorization. And because of him, and because of his invitation to take us in, we can go into the presence of God, and we can be in the presence of God, and we can look forward to the glory of God and sharing in the glory of God. We put our faith in him. And then there's this word freedom in verse 12. You know, we can approach God through faith in Jesus with freedom, it says. And it's not something for just occasional people. It's for every Christian. We, verse 12, we may approach God. It's something that's for every Christian, for every single person who comes through faith in Jesus. That's a Christian, someone who comes to God through faith in Jesus. That's what a Christian is. We can approach God with freedom. And it's funny that Paul should be speaking about freedom here. Why? Well, because where is Paul as he writes the letter? He tells us in verse 1, he's in prison. He's in prison in the Mamertine, prison in Rome. And that's not a good place to be. It's not a place of freedom. It's a place of restriction. It's not a place of confidence, to use the last word in verse 12, it's a place where men's confidence is broken. It's a place where people are broken. It's a place where people have everything good taken away from them and knocked out of them. And it's a place where people can't move around. They're chained. And yet Paul's speaking about freedom. Doesn't that sound like a paradox? How can you be free when you're in prison? Well, Paul is saying here, and it's not just he's saying it, he's writing this letter here in Ephesians, and Ephesians is soaring. Ephesians is a wonderful book, and it's written in the horrible conditions of a prison in Rome. And the reason is that it soars is because Paul soars in the prison. He might be confined. He might be lacking in freedom to go around where he wants in Rome, but he's free to come to God. And he's exercising that freedom. So his spirit is soaring. His spirit is in flight. His spirit is delighting in God in the prison. Others are broken, but he is confident. He is full of freedom and confidence, even though he's in prison. That should give us all real encouragement, because, you know, life is difficult at times. Sometimes it's grindingly difficult over a long period, and sometimes it just hits us with something really hard for a short time. Life can be very difficult. And some of us carry things with us. We carry things like shame and fear and disappointment in our lives. We carry these things. We carry them through life. And we feel them in our hearts all the time. And yet, Paul is saying we can have freedom and confidence. Many people are in chains to their disappointments and their shame and their fear. Many people are in prison to these things. But the Christian, man or woman, young person, need not be. No matter what our past, no matter what we carry with us, no matter what would try and imprison us, we can have freedom in God's presence through Jesus. Freedom to pray, freedom to praise, freedom to thank God, freedom to serve God, freedom to live. We're not meant just to dip into God's presence occasionally, we're meant to live in it. And we have that freedom if we put our faith and trust not in ourselves, not in our own ability to approach God. That would be foolishness. That would be to do what Nadab and Abihu did, but in Christ, who's taken all the stress out of approaching God so that we can come in freedom and confidence and live in God's presence. So let's then look at this final word, confidence. There it is again in verse 12. Freedom and confidence. We may approach God through faith in Jesus. Confidence. What God wants for you and me is for us to be absolutely persuaded that we can approach God. That's what he wants. He wants you to be persuaded that you can come to God. Not because of yourself. Not self-confidence. But because of Jesus. Now sometimes there's a lot of kind of false humility and unbelief when it comes to this. People will say things like, you know, oh, you know, I'm not good enough to approach God, or you know, I'm not the kind of person who can expect anything from God. And that kind of false humility does a lot of damage to people, because they make out, and sometimes we make out, that it's presumptuous for us to expect anything from God, or presumptuous of us to expect to be close to God. But listen, what brings you close to God is not who you are and what you've done. It's Jesus. You can have absolute confidence to approach God, not because you've got a place where you feel you're good enough to do it, but because of Jesus, and that he is good enough to take you there. The way is open. but it's through Jesus. And you can come through Jesus with confidence. In fact, it's presumption not to come. Think about that. It's absolutely the most unreasonable thing in the world for people not to come to God when Jesus has made it possible for them to do so, when Jesus has opened up the way for them to do so. Yes, it's a sin to come to God confident in ourselves, but it's also a sin not to come to God because we're not confident in ourselves. Because we should have our confidence in Jesus. So don't come to God with half of your thinking on how unworthy you are to be there. Come to God with all your thinking on how worthy Jesus is to take you there. And that'll change things. We can come to God confidently through faith in Jesus Christ. Just think about the Lord's Prayer. Well, we all know the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever thought about the audacity of the Lord's Prayer? The amount of confidence that is exhibited by someone that really seriously says that prayer. Confidence like calling God Father. Well, where do you get that confidence from? It's got to come through Jesus Christ. Jesus gives you the confidence to expect intimacy with God, to call him Father. Confidence that you can come along with other Christians to God and say, Our Father. You might think to yourself, well, I'm not as good as many other Christians. But in Jesus, we have the confidence, even though we're not as good as other Christians, to come to God with them, Our Father. And then we have confidence that God hears our prayers in heaven, Our Father who is in heaven. That's a confidence that Jesus alone can give to us. We have a confidence that we can come to God and praise him, and that he wants our praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And have you noticed that the Lord's Prayer doesn't start off mentioning sin straight away? I know many Christians, we do that. When we come to God, the first thing is, oh God, here I am again, a wretched sinner, I'm sorry, I've blown it again, what a mess I'm in, forgive me please. The confidence that we get in Jesus Christ to come to God means that we can first of all praise him. We say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we praise God. And then somewhere a good bit further on in the prayer, we then come to our sins. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our debts. That's the confidence. Because Jesus is bringing us into God's presence. It's not us being good enough that gets us into God's presence. It's Jesus. And we have the confidence to believe that we can play a part in God's work. So we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. That God would actually involve us in that. We have a confidence that however tiny our needs and our lives are on a global scale, they matter to God. Well, why would you think the creator of the universe would care about whether you had your daily bread or not? But in Jesus, you have the confidence. You approach God. Give us this day our daily bread. And it goes on like that through the prayer. I invite you to look at the prayer and see the level of confidence that's exhibited. At the end, we know that we can have the confidence that God will move heaven and earth to lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. That's confidence. Do you have that confidence this morning? Yourself. It's a wonderful confidence to know, and it's a wonderful confidence to exercise and to use and to rely upon day by day. Durnish Bridge. It's quite an unusual bridge, isn't it? It's very high. Remember late John McInnes telling me that when it was first built in 1826, people were frightened to cross it. Especially frightened to take their carts over it. Imagine taking a horse and cart over Jernish Bridge. It'll fall down, surely. Isn't it incredible? It'll soon be 200 years old. I don't suppose it's had to be rebuilt or reinforced or anything in that time. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that. But it's amazing that a bridge that is built maybe to carry it at the worst, a horse with a heavy laden cart, carries over multiple axle articulated lorries with loads that were bigger than anything that could ever have been conceived in 1826. And millions of cars and lorries and people have crossed it since it was first built, and it hasn't fallen down for any of them. Wow. People are confident to cross Jernish Bridge now. We should be confident that we can cross by way of Jesus to God. It's not something new that just came to Plockton in 2016. It's been there 2,000 years. Christ, the bridge to God, the way to approach God. And billions of Christians over that time have approached God through Jesus and lived in God's presence and known the blessing of that and know the blessing of it more fully now in his nearer presence. So you can cross to Jesus, to God, through Jesus, using the bridge that is Jesus, that God has given to you. And you can do it with confidence. You come to God through Jesus. In him, as the verse says here, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. We can live in the presence of God, because Jesus is authorized to be there and invites us to come in under, to come in under the benefits of that authorization and to share in the privilege he has of being in God's presence. We can be there too and share in all the blessings that that entails. So let us therefore approach God with freedom and confidence. Not be afraid. It's a well-trodden path, and it won't let you down. It's the path that Jesus has laid for us. Hallelujah.